December 29th to December 22nd at the historic Bangor Opera House. For tickets, call 207-942-3333 or visit www.penobscottheatre.org.
Back on Downtown 4:30 on your Wednesday afternoon. It's time for this week's Sports Lit 101 with Bruce Pratt here with us in studio, bringing back an author we've talked about in the past and a sport that we've touched on more than a few times.
Yeah, and actually we've talked about curling on three occasions. We talked about The Stones of Ailsa Craig, which David Florig wrote, and the author of this book, The Shattered Curling Stone, and the Black Bond Spiel of Willie McCrimmon, which is one of my all-time favorite books. And this one sort of relates to both of them. Just to give people a quick primer again on some terms, a curling match is known as the Bond Spiel, and sometimes it's between just two teams, and teams are called rinks, R-I-N-K-S, as obviously the surface on which the game is played. Now, The Stones of Ailsa Craig involved much of it was about contemporary Belfast, Maine. And there was also a 19th century component on the island of Ailsa Craig. Ailsa Craig is where the blue granite exists that makes for the best curling stones. And there can only be a certain amount mined every year, because obviously we're not making any more of that at a rate that is sustainable. And so it is the most sought-after material for stones. And what David Florig did in his first book, The Stones of Ailsa Craig, was imagine a situation where a person felt that they needed to avenge a many-year-old grudge, to avenge the death of someone who was murdered. And the connections, and I don't want to spoil the book, as we tried not to when we talked to David before, of why that happens and how those connections were made. This book will touch briefly on that. But primarily, this is the history of how women became allowed to curl. Now, you would think that it was never a time when they were prohibited from curling. Well, yes, actually, they were. And I always tell people when they say, oh, that was a long, long time ago. Now, I'm an old guy. My wife is a little younger than I am by 6 months. And she went to what was then the largest high school in the state of Rhode Island. And I asked her what sports they had for women. She said, didn't have any. I said, what are you talking about? She said, no, they didn't have any. I couldn't believe that. So then when she went and got her yearbook and there were no women's sports teams, I was stunned. Okay, she graduated in 1969, not 1869.
Yeah.
And the only thing you could do to get a letter was be a cheerleader, and she was the captain of the cheerleaders. And I think of what a fabulous middle distance runner she would have been. I think, having coached eight state track championship teams, I know a little bit about running. She would have been really good at that. But this all goes back, the shattered curling stone, all goes back to the time in Victorian England where that you're starting to see the real effects of this thing we've talked about a million times, muscular Christianity, taking over the mindset of people, that women are delicate, that women shouldn't be involved in these kinds of activities, that women should remain in the domestic sphere, if you will. In this story, a young girl, Ailsa McLaren, whose name for the island, and her father love curling. He's a very famous curler, and president of the local curling club. And he starts to teach her to curl on the pond where the team plays. Now, curling's very popular in Scotland, but it's not always a climate in all of Scotland where you would get good ice all year. So one of the things he and his daughter do, it is quite an arduous task, they build a small pond so there are only a few inches of ice. Because there's only a few inches of ice, obviously it'll freeze better. This part of the book is quite interesting. And she learns to be really good at it. She gets three of her friends, and they get good at curling. And eventually, there's a movement that allows rinks from different parts of Scotland to play one another. And Queen Victoria, turns out she likes curling, so she thinks that's a good idea too. And what will happen is, as these girls get older, they will be asked to go to Canada to compete. And the Canadians are the ones, that's who you got to beat, right? The Canadians are the, especially the Quebecers at the time, are supposed to be the very best. And David, again, imagines this journey over to Canada. However, in all of this, in all of this story, there's Lucas Plotkock. And he may or may not be the devil.
Mm.
And he claims he is, and you would think that he might be, but you can't be sure of that until you make a decision about something that occurs at the end of the book. But what's remarkable about this are the end notes as well. This is a book that is obviously very well researched. David knows the history of this sport inside and out. And as I was saying to you, Rich, off air, I think maybe when we talk about the book with the author, maybe I'll do it from the Belfast Curling Club so we can hear the sound of the roaring game. You know, I think that one of the things that's changed in sports, you don't hear hockey on TV the way you used to, because there's always somebody talking. And, you know, there used to be one guy. He didn't need a color commentator. One guy did hockey games. You don't hear the sounds of the crowds in baseball the way you used to, because you got three people in the booth yammering away. Curling, they call it the roaring game because of the sound that the stone makes going down the ice. And I think we see it in the Olympics, and all we hear is the skip yelling, "Curl, curl, bro, you know, harder, harder, harder," that kind of stuff. So maybe I'll get it, because I live pretty near the Belfast Curling Club. Maybe we can make that happen. But what I would say is, if you're a fan of historical fiction, this is the book for you. If you're looking for hours and hours of the minutiae of curling, it's not, which I think is great. It makes it a much more readable book. But it also gives you a look, I think, at where we've come and where we haven't come in women's athletics. And as you, Rich, know, I'm very involved with women's athletics at the University of Maine. It's an area of the athletic department that I really like to advocate for and care about. But it's also about what happens when young women are empowered to do the things they want to do. What are the other things they're able to accomplish? And as we know, as educators, that's been since the 1970s with Title IX, that's been a huge improvement in the lives of women.
Well, look at the number of Fortune 500 CEOs and how they have increased since the onset of Title IX, females in those positions.
Yeah, and the number of, you look around at the number of former collegiate athletes, female collegiate athletes, that are now in broadcasting at high levels, and they're not there to be eye candy, you know. I think it's the Ottawa Senators have hired Kenzie Lalonde, former Canadian college hockey player, to do play-by-play on TV. I mean, there was a time 5 years ago that would just not have occurred to anybody. So it's called The Shattered Curling Stone, and it's by David S. Florig, F-L-O-R-I-G. If you just go online, Google him up, you'll be able to get the book. And we'll talk to David about this somewhere down the line, but it is it's an interesting story.
Excellent. What's coming up next week on Sportsbook?
Well, I think we'll do what we did last year. We had talked about how I used to do the best of or talk about books people might want to buy, and we'd wait till December, and then you couldn't get them for Christmas because even the big houses now are print on demand when the first run is gone. So I think next week and the week afterwards we'll talk about some of the books we've looked at in the last 14 months, whatever, and sort of revisit why people might want to buy those books.
Sounds like a good plan right there. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure as always.
18 to go before the top of the hour. Bruce talking with Maine men's hockey coach Ben Barr when we come back here on a Wednesday downtown.
Hi, this is Richard Schiff, and you're listening to Downtown with Rich Kimball.